It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley are here with all the news. We've got Windows 8.1 news. Brand new Surfaces are coming. Paul's going to talk a little bit about his vision for the future of computing. Yes, you can send your letters to him. It's all next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley, episode 328, recorded September 12th, 2013. Kabini, she said. This episode of Windows Weekly is brought to you by Shutterstock.com, with over 28 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off your new account, visit Shutterstock.com and use our offer code Windows9. It's time for Windows Weekly! Yeehaw! The show that covers your Microsoft products there, your Xbox, your Windows 8, your Windows 8.1, your Windows Phone. Here he is from beautiful Dedham, Mass, where everybody talks like that, Mr. Paul.
That's exactly what it's like in Dedham.
Yeah, sure. I'm watching this
Sometimes
Ray Donovan.
The sheriff just drives by and he hikes up his pants.
Hey, Opie!
Puts his foot up on my steps and he's...
What, Andy?
Give him some lemonade. We sit out on the stairs and...
And, of course, from the big city, New York, it's Mary Jo Foley, all about Microsoft.com. Hello, boys and girls.
Hello,
How
Leo.
How are you today?
Hello, Leo.
Hello, Threat. So, welcome to Windows Weekly. Before we go, I should look at your notes.
There's a lot of notes.
There's a lot to talk about. I'm just wondering, do you spend any time on, no, you don't, on the iPhone? So,
I don't know if you noticed, but... Microsoft doesn't make the iPhone.
Oh, really? Oh, they actually probably make more money on the iPhone than they do on Windows Phone, but that's another matter.
Actually, we do have a statistic in the notes today about how much they make from Android.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot.
It is. It's not bad.
Not enough to pay for Nokia, but close.
It'd be enough to pay for your son's college, though.
Yeah. No, nothing is enough. But yesterday, or rather Tuesday, Apple showed off the new iPhone 5S and the 5C. And I was telling Mary Jo before the show began, I really feel like iOS 7 owes a lot to Metro and to Windows. I've been playing with it now.
Actually, the iPhone 5C owes a lot to the Lumia 520.
Oh, the good point. Yes. Yeah. With the plastic bag.
Yeah. I haven't written this yet. In fact, I was writing this when I was wondering why you guys weren't calling me, and then I realized Skype had signed me out. Apple is also making iWork available for free for new iOS users, which is very similar to Microsoft's strategy now, where they give Bundle. Office away on Windows RT tablets and also on Windows 8 mini tablets. And also on Windows Phone, I should say, the mobile version of Office. So that's interesting because, I don't feel like iWork is a functional competitor to Office, but iOS goes out on hundreds of millions of devices a year, and those people now get that for free. And that's how you get people to switch platforms. I mean, that's the kind of stickiness or lock-in or whatever you want to call it, that could drive iWork,
Well, not to mention
that position of not being used ever, too.
They've got iWork.com, which, I guess they don't call it that anymore, but you can use those apps in the cloud much as you can Office 365.
How does that work, though? How do you use that as a person? Where is iWork online? I don't see this anymore.
Beta.icloud.com. I don't know. I think you still have to be invited, but I can show it to you if you'd like to take a look.
I can get into it personally, but you might want to bring it up just to show people.
Yeah, let me show you. I got to log in here. Hold on a sec.
Yeah, it's actually good to show this because I saw a lot of people who were covering the announcement about iWork this week saying, Microsoft doesn't offer something like this, but
that's
amazing.
I think
Office web apps are like this.
Right? I think Office web apps are more than something like this.
Right.
I think they're a much better version of
this. So here's the word processor, and it's actually a pretty close analog to what it would look like on the desktop. I'm running this in Safari right now on a Mac, but here's the interesting thing. Running it on Chrome, on a Chromebook, it's very similar.
Yeah, and I'm bringing it up in Internet Explorer.
It warns you. It says, oh, you shouldn't be using this with Chrome. But it still works, you know.
Yep. It actually doesn't warn you when you use it with Internet Explorer. In fact, they have a plugin for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that partly that's because it's HTML5, isn't it? So if you have good HTML5 support, you should theoretically... here's this spreadsheet.
Excuse me. Actually, it does warn me.
Yeah, yeah. I think it really... Yeah. So here's the spreadsheet. I think it's a fairly credible offering. What is it's
not bad.
Better than and arguably competes head to head with is Google Docs.
Yeah, I would say this looks nicer than Google Docs.
Much.
I mean, the question, and it looks, by the way, to be fair, it looks fairly comparable to Office web apps. Although, you know, I can't speak to the compatibility with document formats and formatting. I think, and that's going to be important to some people. But the big question on the web one is going to be whether anyone can get it or whether you need to be. I don't know what you would need to be to get this. Like
you need an iCloud account.
That's all.
It's so free with an iCloud account. Yeah.
Okay. So it's comparable.
Yeah.
If only Microsoft's had something like this.
Now, it's not. This is still a closed beta, I believe, but there people are slowing being invited to it. I did.
Yep.
And which is nice because it's nice to be able to take a look at it. You know, it's funny. I mean, I use a Mac every day, but I absolutely do not use any of these apps, really.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to do word processing, I probably use Google Docs more than anything else, believe it or not.
I have just got a sharp pain in my heart, Leo. Could you hold on for 1 second?
I own Office 365. I bought it, the subscription. I'm not the user it's aimed at. I'm not a power user. I don't do big spreadsheets. I don't even do much word processing anymore.
To be fair, I think Office 365 Home Premium is aimed at, you know, families too,
yeah,
right?
You know, I don't. That's a good question. I don't know what Henry's using to write his papers, but I'm pretty sure it's not Office.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, you know, what I use more and more is Office web apps. I mean,
really?
For me, they have pretty much everything I need.
It's a real step up from that notepad, huh?
Yeah.
It's when I have to do something extra. I go with the Office.
I like the Office web apps.
I'm using OneNote on the web. You know.
Yeah. I mean, if you could use them in an offline mode, because of all the system wipeouts that I do and all that kind of stuff, I would probably just use that just to save some time, you know. And the sort of subset of functionality that it provides is absolutely enough for my needs. But, mm-hmm. You know, it's the, yeah, you got to go. So you actually go to the web and you make documents.
But that's because of the workflow. You know, for instance, every show but this one. uses the Google Docs spreadsheet for the rundowns for the show.
Your time will come, Leo. You'll all pay for that.
If I have to do any, you know, list making or that kind of thing, I'll probably do it in Google Docs. But I don't write anything extensive anymore.
Right.
And I do admit, when I make slideshows, which I also don't do much anymore, but when I did, I would always use Keynote. And that's more because everybody's so overexposed to PowerPoint.
No, there's nothing wrong with Keynote.
Keynote's
in fact,
great.
Keynote is maybe the one app of those apps that's actually very good.
And that works fairly well in the cloud. And that's an interesting thing. That's their PowerPoint equivalent. So that's
I will say that even Word buckles very easily under the impact of a 650-page document that has hundreds of images in it.
Of course.
Like, you know, the book that I work on.
Yeah. That's a good example.
Impossible.
What do you do with a book like that? What do you write in
there? I break it down by chapter and I do chapters at a time, but the problem is once it gets near the end, you bundle them together, and in the latter stages I'm just kind of doing it for publishing purposes so I can save it as a PDF. It's very ponderous, but then once the book is kind of complete, it's hard to break out chunks of it to fix them, so you kind of work in that document and it is really ponderous.
When I was writing books, I was, of course, doing it in Microsoft Word because I think to this day publishers demand doc files, which is weird.
Yeah.
But, for revisions, it's probably the best.
Yeah.
But when I was doing it, you could create a master document that linked to the individual chapters. Don't you do that?
No, I am not that sophisticated, Leo.
That really is probably... Well, never mind.
Yeah, right. This is a book about Windows, not a book about Office, Leo. I don't actually know how to use Office.
Yeah.
Never mind. I won't. Yeah. I won't
there are definitely things I could do to improve my workflow there.
The master document helps with the massive books because it's not really.
I'll look
one
into
file.
That.
Yeah, try it.
Wait, you say Office? Wait. It has a word processor?
Notepad.
You know what I really miss is WordPerfect. Now those were the days. I still know WordStart.doc commands in my sleep. I do. You know?
Yeah.
Windows 8.1 and tablets. We have. Was this at the Intel forum that we had these announcements?
Yeah, lots of tablets were announced this week.
Based on Bay Trail. Is that like Clover Trail? Only?
Yeah, most of them are based on Bay Trail. Obviously, there's some Haswell stuff coming. But I think the big difference this year is going to be more mini tablets for starters. And the possibility, although I feel like we're kind of, I feel like we get locked into this notion that this next thing will make everything okay. You know, like Bay Trail is going to make everything okay, you know.
Right.
But we're starting to see a lot of Bay Trail-based machines that are, you know, regular-sized machines as well. And that may be. Those will be powerful enough.
Those will be the low-cost stuff, right? The $300.
Some of them, certainly, yeah. And they do start at $300.
So what is the Bay Trail? What is it's an Atom. I don't know if that's...
It's the next-gen Atom. It's the successor to Clover Trail. Intel says performance is, like, double.
Wow.
You know, and I think the graphics performance might have been 8X. I don't remember the exact figure.
Atom was the chip, of course, all the netbooks used, and it really was.
Yeah,
a
which
anemic.
Is, you know, right. And it should leave a little, like, the taste of copper in your mouth every time you say it.
Flood, I think, is.
You know, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm. Like, yeah, I kind of don't trust the name. Like, I say Atom, and it's Atom. Yeah.
Well, hey, it could be worse. They brought back the name Celeron, which baffles me. It's like, might as well call it a Pentium.
Well, by the way, Pentium is there, too. I just got an email from HP, so I clicked on it. And I'm going down the list. It's like Pentium, Celeron, Pentium. And I'm like, what is this stuff? It's like, I'd like to buy a computer from 1998, please.
Do they not have enough? Are they running out of names?
I don't know.
So Anand did do a review of the Bay Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Zed.
Yeah, so what did they say?
3770. They liked it. This is.
I've been bit so many times by these things. I'm so nervous that this is not any good. Because Clover Trail systems to me are almost completely unusable. And I feel like we've been down this road before, and I'm nervous that this is going to be this, you know, the same thing again.
They're using, you know, the 3D Tri-Gate transistors. It's a 22.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, doesn't that sound good? Got to be better than 2D.
Look how powerful that looks.
Look, it's colorful, too.
you know?
It is a system on a chip, 22 nanometer process.
Yep.
You know, they do claim better battery life. Now, the other thing to note is that there's a huge range of speeds and performance, and there's quite a few different ones.
Yep.
Tablet optimized graphics. I don't know what tablet optimized means, but.
Leo, that literally means absolutely nothing. That is phrase. That is amazing.
So Anand breaks it up between the Windows-based tablets and the Android-based tablets and talks about performance. So an i7 is that top bar there. The Pentium 2020 is the next one down, then AMD. Here's the Atom is the blue bar.
That's the new Atom? See, what they needed to compare this to was the old one.
This is Silvermont. Yeah, the four.
I need to know, how does that compare to the last
one? The old Atom, yeah. No, they don't.
Because the old
that.
One was garbage, and I'm really that's what I'm worried about. That it's just going to be the same thing.
You know, it's
so they have something called Pentium that significantly outperforms.
Yeah, Atom. Yeah, and they say this is roughly the same as AMD's Kabini.
Sure. Now we're just making up words. I don't even think that's real.
I mean, I was complaining about Intel, but the option is. You could call it Pentium, or you could call it Kabini.
You can call me Ray, or you can call
Kabini. What kind of name is that for a processor?
That's crazy.
You know, it actually, I'm looking at it. You know, it's what you'd expect. This is a low cost.
Leo, just once, I want it to be more than what I expected. Right?
Never.
Like just once, I want the you know whatever it is, the Atom in this case to be.
It actually performs pretty well on browsers. Here's the Mozilla benchmark. And you see, the only thing that beats it is the i5. It is better than the Exynos, the 8-way Samsung Exynos.
Samsung and, Exynos. Is yeah. that a is
and an here chip? Here for you? Yeah, that's an ARM chip. Here for you is the old Atom. This is in browser. This is Mozilla's Kraken benchmark.
So my Skype has killed my video.
I'll describe it for you.
Please, yeah, please
there's
describe
a,
it.
There's a long,
be as visual as you can.
Long bar at the bottom. That's the old Atom, and then the new Atom is the short bar at the top. So it's considerably better. We're talking the difference between 14,520 milliseconds to execute it versus 4,599 milliseconds.
So that's 3X.
Significant improvement, yeah. Yeah.
Ish.
Okay. Similar with SunSpider. So, you know, it sounds like it's optimized for the things that you probably would do with a tablet, like browse, right?
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I'd like to, you know, I would not be opposed to taking a Bay Trail type device out on the road, or by the way, an RT type device out on the road, if it had all the apps that I wanted to run and would get that killer battery life, which I think is really the key to these things.
Graphics performance is almost 6 times better than the previous Atom, but still way behind an i5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And Paul's post, it's interesting because Paul has. And his a lot more information than has been made public on a lot of these tablets. He told me he got them from sources close to Microsoft when I asked him.
Ooh.
Mr. Therod did.
Actually, the first thing I said to you when you asked me was...
Well, you can't repeat that on the air when you said to me first.
He said, Kabini.
I said, where did you get these stats? And he said...
Kabini.
Kabini.
But yeah, so what's interesting to me when I looked at what he has is, so some of these devices are saying 8 hours of battery life. Some are saying, Toshiba's Encore, 6 to 7 hours, not that great. Right. And then pricing is what's more interesting. Pricing starting at $249 for the Lenovo 8-inch, which is like, okay, now we're getting, getting competitive.
These are aimed squarely at Chromebooks.
They are.
Yeah. And I guess the Nexus 7.
Yeah.
This is, you know, we keep calling these things different things, but really, you know, I think it's important to put them in perspective. These are all netbooks, right?
Yeah.
That this
they
is
are.
The netbook class
right.
machine, whatever it is.
Right.
Whether it's a mini tablet or a Chromebook or just a big laptop that runs an old processor. It's, you know, something that costs $300. You're talking about a netbook.
Yeah. Yeah. You say there's also a Lenovo 10-inch one coming called the Mix 2, and that starts at $449 supposedly.
Yep.
So a little bigger screen netbook. Asus is the most interesting, I think. 10.1-inch Bay Trail, 12 hours, $329.
Yeah. That's they announced it at $349, but yeah, it's
they did. Yeah.
I think so.
That
one looks very interesting. That's the one people are like, look at this thing, you know, because it's like a 10-inch screen.
Right.
Keyboard clips off, looks just like a, you know, Surface RT type device, but it runs actual Windows 8.
Yep.
Does that one come with Office? I don't remember on that one.
Probably not because...
Probably not because it's a 10-inch, yeah.
Right. So we should bring that up too. Microsoft said last year, I think, everything that's 8-inch, or earlier this year, everything 8-inch and smaller is going to come with Office, like real Office.
Yay.
For free.
That's a great
deal.
Yeah,
and the thing that Mary Jo and I were talking about earlier, because we don't really know this. I don't remember if it's in the licensing or whatever, but we believe, and it's not necessarily a fact, but I think that those machines will all come with the base version of Windows 8, not with Windows 8 Pro.
Right.
And that this is some kind of a distinction, you know, that the smaller tablets run the core version of Windows 8. You'll get a free version of Office, just like you do on RT, but it's not Windows 8 Pro, and it has to be the smaller devices.
But they still can run existing apps because
It's still Windows 8. Yep.
Right.
X86, and you could upgrade to Windows 8.1 as well if you wanted.
That's cool.
The one tablet that's not like the others in Paul's list.
Right.
Nokia's Sirius tablet is ARM-based, 10.1-inch Qualcomm ARM-based, battery up to 10 hours, $500. And that means this tablet does not run... existing apps, except for
bucks.
Office. Yeah, he's got a really nice picture of it. Look at it; it looks nice.
I'm finding
it's
it
$500
right now,
bucks, yeah. And it's ARM based.
It's red.
Yeah. It's red.
10 hours battery life, but boy, that's price. I guess they're pitching, and it is 1080p. So they're pitching this against
the other thing is, I mean, basically. since I acquired this information, I mean, pricing changes, right? And
it does.
You know, we don't know, for example, what the Surface devices are going to price out at when they first come out yet, because I think companies hold this stuff close to their vests until the last minute, because they want to see what other people do. And obviously, you want to price it as high as you can, but you also want to price it as low as you can. You know, so
I think this is compelling. I mean, it competes well against an iPad. And is this do all versions of RT come with Office?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it's going to come with Outlook RT too for free, because it'll be 8.1. You get Outlook.
Hey, I'm tempted by this. I actually am tempted by this. Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't know when this is going to be announced. The rumor date on the announce for this device is September 26th, but we don't know that for a fact.
6.7 megapixel camera with Zeiss optics. I mean, that's one thing that the iPad misses. It's a 5 megapixel, such a great camera.
I'd walk up to smack someone who was taking a picture with this thing, and then I'd be like, oh, wait, you're using a Nokia.
It's okay. It's a Nokia. Snap-on keyboard. How do they solve the keyboard issue? Is there a keyboard? Will there be a keyboard, do you think?
Do not know. Everything I know is there.
Yeah. Really? Everything you know? Everything?
Well, not everything in life.
This is a kind of compelling product, I think.
I'm saving my prayer beads for another.
It's a little heavy. 1.3 pounds is a little heavy for a device that size, isn't it? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, no, 1 pound is usually about right for a tablet. Yeah. 1 pound.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's been leaks on this series showing. I think it showed it with some kind of.
There's been leaks on all this stuff, actually.
Right?
All of these have leaked one way or another.
Yeah. Except the Lenovo's, I don't think have.
No, actually, the Lenovo has two.
They have two?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
The series.
Just fill in the details, Mary Jo.
You filled in a lot of details.
Like the nooks and the crannies.
By the way, Paul, all the blogs that are repeating your leak says you're Microsoft Watcher, Paul Thurrott.
Yes, baby. That's what I am.
Microsoft Watcher.
I'm the peeping Tom of the Microsoft. Honey, there's someone outside again.
The leak on the Sirius shows them with this detachable keyboard thing that it stands up in the middle of the keyboard, and it's like it's a cover keyboard stand thing. So that would be nice to have.
Yeah, and it gives you an angle. This looks good.
This is Nokia's tablet, right? And Microsoft also is doing an ARM-based tablet, the Surface 2. So the question is, how does Microsoft differentiate their ARM tablet from Nokia's?
Well, at this point, they do it by telling Nokia not to release theirs. I mean, I don't know. That's a good question.
There's got to be regulatory approval both in the U.S. and Finland, right, of the acquisition.
Yep.
So it could be months.
14.
They're talking next year.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So Nokia should probably continue on
should continue pretending they're still a company and release this product that nobody.
I ran into a Finnish guy yesterday. He was visiting the studio. He's from Finland. And he said, we're all verklempt over this thing.
I would give anything to have a Finnish friend. Because I would walk around with this guy and I would never stop saying, finish him!
I said, well, at least you've still got Ericsson. And then I went, oh, never mind.
Yikes. No, you got to say something. You have to say something that's borderline ignorant. You have to say, like, well, at least you still have Volvo. That makes no sense at all.
It's Swedish.
It sort of betrays like an American lack of understanding.
They're all up there in the spoon-shaped country. Up there. He said, you know, the Finns are pretty upset about this.
In fact,
he said it's as if the Finns bought Ford is the analogy he used.
Oh, wow.
It's as if an Italian car company bought Chrysler. there are issues. I know there are issues in the car industry with like German companies, for example. Some of them can't be bought by companies that are outside of Germany. You know, like Volkswagen can't be sold to, you know, some other, you know, international group or whatever, that kind of thing. I mean, I thought that there would be some kind of Finnish, you know, patriotic law that would almost prevent this or make this very difficult. For all the times I've said Microsoft should incorporate Nokia into Windows Phone, I mean, I never really thought it was going to happen. So what did Tammy Reller say,
Mary
Jo?
Let's talk about Tammy Reller. Yeah, so Tammy Reller was speaking at IDF this week, the Intel Developer Forum. I don't think there was a transcript anywhere, was there, or a recording?
I kept looking, and I went to Intel's site, and I was looking for a video, and I know this is going to happen, but I haven't found it yet.
No, me neither. But one thing she supposedly said was Windows 8.1 RTM hit 2 million downloads in 24 hours.
Right.
That's interesting, since they almost didn't release it.
Which we can assume to mean TechNet and MSDN only.
MSDN, yep.
Right.
Yep. So that's good, interesting, since they almost didn't do it, right? So good news.
Yeah, weren't going to do it. There was more to it, though. She said...
talk about the activation thing, because you were telling me about this today.
This is vague, because I don't have the exact quote, and I don't have a transcript. But she said... Actually, this might have been on the Windows blog, on Blogging Windows. I think what she said was that Windows 8 had its highest level of activations yet in August, which is an interesting term... For many reasons. Obviously, in the Windows world, when we hear activations, we think of product activation, which I think is exactly what she means, that someone put in a product key, it activated against their servers. That's an activation. But, of course, activation has taken on an all-new meaning in this mobile world because Google is always talking about Android activations. Apple always talks about iPhone activations. And that's when somebody buys a device and activates it against the, I believe it's when they activate it against a wireless carrier, right? It's how they activate it.
Yep.
And that's how they, and activations roughly equates to, it's kind of a new term, but it's like new users, right? So Microsoft typically talks about licenses sold. And many people, when they hear that number, they realize that's not actual number of users. And that's fair enough. It's copies of Windows sold into the channel. Yeah. But when Apple talks about iPhone activations or Google talks about Android activations, they have an idea that that many people are actually using those devices now.
Right.
You know, so this is...
I'd love to see them switch to this.
Yeah. I think this is the first time they've ever said this.
I don't think they've ever provided this number.
Yeah.
No. Like you said, before activations was like about... authentication, more or less, right? Like you had to enter the code.
Yeah,
And then in the old days, Genuine Advantage, right? Like you were...
legitimate versions of Windows, right?
Yeah.
Because they're activated.
Right. This is actually more interesting, a more interesting number, and a way that they'll be able to compare more against things like Chromebooks and phones and all that.
Well, assuming they ever apply a number to it, right? So I think it was back in May... Right, there's no numbers, so that's why it's not. That's the third reason.
Here's what it says. It says our August activations were the highest for Windows 8 so far, but we don't know what they were before.
I mean, So taken in isolation, that sounds like a positive thing.
Right.
But you know, maybe in July they were 17 activations, and now they're a million or something. I mean,
But that number still is interesting, right? Because this is a month when you would think things would be down because people are getting ready for 8.1, unless they're counting 8.1 in this too, which they might be.
I don't know. They seem to refer to Windows 8 and Windows 8.1 as separate things.
They do.
Somebody wrote in, maybe in the comments or email or Twitter somewhere, it told me that, you know, back to school, you know, you might have a little bump. And those machines, you know, people who buy computers for back to school are going to get Windows 8. They're not going to know about or have the opportunity to downgrade or care either way. I guess they just buy a new computer and they don't think about it. I don't know. All I know is that back, I think in May, they said 100 million licenses sold. They've never updated that number. Nope. And, you know, we got a number about the people who've downloaded the final version of 8.1 in one day from TechNet and MSDN. We know that August had the highest levels of activations yet. We have no idea what to compare that to or what the number was. Interesting. So,
very interesting.
Sorry, I didn't mean to abandon you.
No, it's okay.
You handled that quite well. I was just
like two deers in the headlamps,
sitting back and enjoying the ride. Flip floppers. Is that where we are here? Oh, TechNet. It's back. I'm so happy. Is that where we are? I don't know where we are in this.
I don't even know where that is.
All right.
Oh, no.
I'll take it.
We're still way near start. The start.
We're still on the first start. Repeating? Oh, my God. I jumped way ahead. Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of related to what we were talking about earlier, too, though. You know, are these new devices we were talking about at the beginning, the Bay Trail one's going to make a difference? Is Haswell going to make a difference?
Yep. And sometimes I read things I write and I laugh in sort of a rueful way. But I wrote this morning that you know, Albert Einstein is widely quoted as saying that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So last year, Microsoft shipped Windows 8 and Windows RT and Surface Pro and Surface RT, partnered with Intel and various PC makers to deliver the first generation of touch Ultrabooks and so-called hybrid PCs. This year, Microsoft is shipping Windows 8.1 and Windows RT 8.1 and Surface Pro 2 and Surface 2 and is partnering with Intel and various PC makers to ship the second generation of those devices. So I guess it's going to go way better this time, right? You know, it's like, I mean, that's the kind of fear here is that we're kind of treading water and doing exactly the same thing a year later.
And, you know, the question I keep getting, and you might too, Paul, is, so, you know, everybody who's seen these new Bay Trail numbers, the battery life, the pricing, they're saying, so isn't this proof that there's no role for ARM, right? Isn't this Microsoft's going to dump ARM now? Because didn't they just use ARM to kind of with Intel and force them to hurry up? That's kind of like
you're going to love what I'm about to say, because
okay.
I think people who watch this show perceive that I hate Windows RT and you like Windows RT. And I kind of, I'm always saying they got to get rid of RT. And you're always saying, no, it has a point.
And I broke my Surface RT. If I,
you
that,
did.
Yeah.
You crashed.
You broke it? How do you break a Surface? Do you give it to Alex?
No. He's got his own. No, it fell and it broke. And I never got it fixed. But now I'm going to get that Nokia thing. So I'm excited. Okay. Yeah.
So. I spoke this week at a local group, you know, talked about Windows and transitions and all these things. And literally, during the talk, something occurred to me, which was that it was in response to a question. Somebody in the audience asked about security and, you know, wasn't it true that with Windows RT in this new Metro environment that Microsoft was pushing this new sandbox security model and how this was very reminiscent to how sandboxing works on mobile platforms like iOS or like HTML5, you know, and Chromebooks and Chrome OS, and how these things are all, in fact, very similar. And then it occurred to me, combining that information, which is absolutely true, with the information I'd gotten recently that, you know, of the top 10 Windows desktop applications, the top two are Chrome by far. Chrome is number one by far. Like, it's Chrome is bigger than the other nine combined. Chrome is number one. Number two is iTunes. Those top two apps on Windows desktop are other platforms that are designed to take you away from Windows. They're literally Trojan horses. That's what they are. The other eight are all utilities. They're things like the Stardock utilities that make Windows 8 look like Windows 7. They're antivirus utilities. They're, you know, WinZip type utilities. They're just bogus little nothing utilities. So that's Windows desktop. And there's this kind of crowd of people that will insist until it literally disappears that Microsoft will never get rid of the Windows desktop, that Microsoft loves the Windows desktop. Microsoft talks about this. You know, we're never, you know, don't worry, we're not stepping away. It is clear to me, very clear, that they're getting rid of the desktop, that they are moving in that direction. And yes, it probably will exist as some backwards compatibility thing like Command Line does now, that it's not an operating system, but it's an app that runs inside of the desktop that will be able to run desktop applications on x86, you know, x64 only, obviously. And that the reason Windows RT might have a future is because that's where Microsoft wants to get. They don't want top-heavy management capabilities like you get through Active Directory and all that kind of stuff on full Windows PCs. They want light touch. They want no touch. They want bring your own device. They want consumerization of IT. They want mobile devices, not PCs. They want simple, not complex. There is no doubt that that's where they're heading. And I know as I'm saying this, people are kind of freaking out because, and I, you know, like many people, use lots of desktop apps. Well, I use more desktop apps than I use Metro apps, maybe is the right way to say it. But there's no doubt that that's the direction. Yeah. And as sort of worthless as RT is in this slice in time, I actually do think that that model is the future, even if it's an x86 version of Windows RT. You know, that this, it was important for them to do this because that's how they do it. They're going to get there first on Windows RT because the desktop makes no sense on Windows RT. And they just haven't had time to do it yet. You know, they put Office on Windows RT because there would have been no value proposition for the platform otherwise. But really what's going to happen is Metro Office is going to happen, and then the desktop office goes away and the desktop goes away, and that's where it's going to happen first. And I think from that perspective, as a peek at Microsoft's mobile OS, mobile platform future. Actually, it's Windows RT.
Yeah, I think it's also worth. Okay, so people always say, why would you want Windows RT, right? So, what you just touched on, here's what Microsoft says. They say, no crapware, no viruses. Right. Less piracy for them. That's an advantage, right? Okay.
No virus. I don't know.
Because it's tied to the chip, right? Windows RT right now is tied to the chip.
Sure.
Right. So that helps reduce piracy. The other thing to remember, and this is kind of going out into the future too, but Windows
You mean tied to the chip as in serialized to the physical chip?
It's like when they did Windows RT first round, they did different, slightly, I think it's not accurate to say slightly different versions probably, but like they did a version.
No, that is accurate.
Is it?
It's custom tailored for each device. Yep.
Right. That worked with TI's ARM chip and who else?
It's worse than that. No, it's not platform. It's tied to that actual device.
Oh, is it really? Wow.
Steven Sinofsky said this literally, that they basically had to make a new version of this for each device. Like that's the level of integration they have.
So that's why no piracy, right? Because if it's that tied to the device, how do you pirate that?
Well, you could pirate it, but only to the same device.
And by the way,
but it comes with the device, so I guess,
sort of blindly defend the desktop and insist that it's not going away and, say again and again, you can't do CAD cam on Metro, which, of course, you can't. You're not going to have full-blown Photoshop on Metro. You're never going to get iTunes on Metro. Yeah, I know, I get it. Yep. But you can't name a major desktop application that was created in the last several years. All of the new apps are occurring on the web or they're occurring on mobile platforms only. And again, using that information I provided earlier, top two applications are other platforms and the other ones are all utilities designed to fix Windows. I mean, Microsoft wants the desktop to go away. The desktop is crap. You know, the desktop is a wasteland.
Especially
I know
it's a weird
way to
touch,
say it. But,
right? How about touch in the desktop? No, it's a no, right?
Oh, God.
It's
terrible.
And they want everything to be touch,
you've said this, but it's nothing new. You've been saying this all along before it came out. But is it your position that we just don't need desktops anymore? That literally the desktop unnecessary?
Obviously, we're in a transition, so we do need
but eventually.
Eventually it's going to go away. I do think there's
how do you do a spreadsheet without a desktop computer?
Well, you'll do the Metro version of. First of all, that will happen. That's not going to be a problem. There will be. Microsoft has already announced the Metro version of Office. It's coming sometime in the next year. Like that will happen.
Yeah, but okay. But I'm just saying, people who are hardcore spreadsheet users want a keypad, a number pad, dedicated.
This doesn't obviate the need for a keyboard to do word processing.
More than a keyboard, a numeric keypad, an extended keyboard. You're not going to see a tablet with an extended keyboard.
You could add an extended keyboard to any device, including a tablet. Of course you could.
Really?
No, don't get me wrong. So, listen, when we speak in generalities, we can't take everything literally, okay? We're not on Twitter. So, let's
how about Visual Studio? Don't you need a desktop for Visual Studio? Multiple windows?
There you do. But
that's the argument that Apple would never abandon the desktop because the people who are developing the apps need a desktop.
Right now they do. But, why isn't that a web app? Right? Why isn't Xcode or Visual Studio web app? Well,
I guess I'm just old-fashioned.
It takes a little bit to get over it. You have to think of previous platform transitions. We went from DOS to Windows. It's a good example. When we first did that, we would launch Windows like it was some kind of a novelty, and we would tool around with the little manager applications, and we would run maybe WordPerfect for Windows briefly, but we would always go back to DOS to get real work done. But eventually those apps appeared, and then we stopped doing that. Now, that thing just exists as sort of
this, this is the analogous transition from command line to GUIs, from GUIs to tablet to touch to full screen
apps. From 16 to 32-bit, 32 to 64 is very similar. I mean, the first 64-bit client OS that Microsoft put out was, I don't remember, but it was either XP for Itanium or XP for, I think maybe for X64. No one could run this thing. You needed very specific hardware. It ran some of the apps poorly, some of the apps not at all. Drivers were an issue. Today X64 is mainstream. It's everything. You almost can't buy an X64 PC. Although of course these Bay Trail things, I don't think are X64, but X64 is the mainstream computing platform for computers. When we went from Windows 98 to Windows 2000, Windows XP, a lot of people stayed on Windows 98 because the good games were there, and some of those games were like DOS games that would run on Windows 8 98 very easily, but wouldn't run on Windows 2000 or Windows XP. You know, eventually some of them did, and eventually some of them didn't, and eventually we stopped caring because all the good games were, you know, the new games would come out and they would actually run on Windows. But for a while, you couldn't get many good games on Windows. You had to have, you know, DOS to run games. Or Windows 8 offered, at the very least, better performance than Windows XP on the same hardware. And so if you were a game player, that was a big deal to you. You stuck with Windows 98 for a little while.
There's one more transition to talk. One more transition that you haven't mentioned. Windows Phone runs on ARM.
Oh, right? God, yeah.
It uses the NT core. Windows RT runs on ARM. It uses the NT core. Guess what's going to happen in the future? I bet. Windows Phone OS, Windows RT become one thing.
Yeah. I talked about this. So my theory is that Microsoft is going to have a core that runs on all three of its major platforms, and that even if it didn't combine any of the platforms, they could have like a WinWRT for Windows, a WinPRT for Windows Phone, and a WinXRT for Windows, you know, for the Xbox. They all share the same core, and then the things that they build on top of that are supersets of the core, making it very easy for an application developer to create a solution that targets three different projects that are apps for each one of those platforms.
They have that
it's
now,
inconceivable,
right?
I think so.
That exists.
Close to it.
Yeah.
Close to it. It's inconceivable they're not heading in this direction. And those apps aren't going to be desktop apps. You know? Just throwing that out there. You know,
is there room for a desktop at all? I mean, could Linux, I'll observe that I have not abandoned the command line. In fact, one of the reasons I use a Mac is because I have a Bash shell full That's Unix an, command line.
I'm not saying that you need to seek help or anything, but that is great.
Well, no, it's a power tool.
No, there will always be power users that need this. There will always be people who need diesel-powered F-350s. But those aren't the mainstream vehicles.
This is the post-PC, the whole post-PC era, the truck analogy.
For casual
But who makes that? Not regular. Microsoft, you're saying?
No, Microsoft. I think they'll... Well, I don't know. So we'll see. Well, I can't... I'm not Yoda. I can't see the future. I just... You know...
You don't even look like him, frankly.
Yeah, not yet. I'm getting there. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just saying this is what makes sense to me. I mean, and I get a lot of pushback from the desktop crowd. I am a desktop user almost exclusively still. But I look at what's happening, and I don't know. To me, it's very clear we're heading in this direction. Now, how that looks in the future, we can debate, but what's the point? We don't, you know, we'll see what happens. Right. But it's not hard to imagine desktop as an optional component. It's not hard to imagine desktop as a sandbox component, much like the classic environment was in Mac OS X in the early days, where you could still run those old apps while you still needed them. And then it was eventually phased out. You know, it's not hard to imagine that. And so you'll have those guys that run the high-end CAD/CAM, you know, apps or Photoshop or video editing or whatever it is. They may always need a desktop. And for those guys, if that's the case, I mean, the desktop will continue, but just in a... you know,
maybe
kind of a minor
virtual machine,
maybe
right?
a specialty
or Azure,
yeah.
right?
Something
maybe
that is
Azure
sandboxed
that,
from
right?
the rest of the system, right? So you have VM is a great example. In fact, not technically, but just generally speaking, in many ways, that's how Metro works. You know, these things are isolated from each other. The idea being that your desktop, you could crash your entire desktop, and it will bring down those apps in the desktop, but you can bring it back. It doesn't impact any of those other Metro apps you're running. I mean, we've done this before. You know, we've made these transitions. That's kind of the point of all this. I mean, you can see how they can make this transition with the desktop. It's just the acceptance factor is very low right now. You know, the people who are burned by Windows 8 and are just starting to calm down and sort of agree that Windows 8.1 is like maybe okay are not going to want to hear this. This is going to inflame them again. But I really do feel like that's where it's going.
Yeah, and Microsoft's not going to say it out loud because they don't want to
inflame
people.
They can't say it.
And they keep saying publicly, don't worry, guys, the desktop's not going away anytime soon. But I get the feeling that anytime soon may not be what people think. I think people are thinking 10 years. I think
10
a lot
months.
Closer than that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
No, I'm sure. By the way, you could probably go back to Windows 95 and they would say, hey, guy, don't worry. We're not getting rid of DOS. You can still run your DOS. Have a relax.
And it took them a long time to get rid of DOS, actually. The DOS box lives still, frankly.
Yes. Although, you know, I don't know that you could run any arbitrary DOS program.
No, you can't. It's a fake DOS, phony DOS. It's been a phony DOS since NT. XP is a phony DOS. So, the reason I have a little trouble with this, if we're just talking about the consumer market, I would say yeah. But the reason I have a little trouble with this is that Microsoft has traditionally been the professional market, the business market, the enterprise market. And those are the places where people are most intransigent, most reluctant to abandon the desktop.
So we didn't put this in the show notes, but there's some evidence that has come to light recently that suggests that Microsoft is getting ready to stick it to that crowd as well, which is amazing.
That's bold. That's brave.
Yeah. You got to give them some credit for moving.
You know, many think Apple's abandoned its professional market. It would be akin to that. The big difference is Apple makes no money on the professional market.
I was going to say there's a big
difference. Microsoft makes all of its money on the enterprise market.
Sure. You can look at any of Microsoft's top businesses, and none of it is devices or services.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, they're making a big transition, and bully for them.
Yep.
I just worry who's going to take up the slack. I just feel as if I look at our finance department, multiple monitors. You know, multiple windows on multiple monitors. They're doing multitask and they're doing a lot of stuff.
Right.
And I don't see them working on a tablet.
No, I don't either, actually. And what I mean is I do think a tablet-like UI. Yeah, those environments will continue to exist for those people, but they're going to be the exception, not the rule. They already are, right? I mean,
oh yeah, they definitely are.
One of the big complaints about Windows 8, right, is you have a start screen instead of a start menu. And you ask people why. What are you missing exactly? I don't understand. And one of the things I heard was, well, you know, when I open the start menu in Windows 7, it only takes up this little corner of the screen. I can still see everything else that's going on over here. And I thought, you know, why do you need to see that stuff? I don't understand. Are you telling me that you can do some activity in the start menu and what's happening over here somehow matters to you, or you're paying attention? That doesn't make sense to me. But you know, that visual change where it goes to a full screen environment, for some reason that really bothers people. It doesn't help that it looks nothing like the desktop, right? I think the fact that it looked like kind of a Fisher-Price big blocky thing didn't...
I guess the one argument I would make against this, and I think you probably are right, but the one argument I'd make is the transition from command line to GUI gave people more options, more capabilities. And the transition from GUI to full screen app is the opposite direction. It gives them fewer options.
I'm not sure that's true. I know why you say that. In other words, you can do fewer things at the
same
time.
You're saying people don't multitask, so who cares? And yet, we embraced multi-windowed operating systems pretty quickly.
Yes, we did. But I think the truth is, and by the way, Microsoft, a company built on metrics, has the information
they know
that's
right,
the case.
Right.
They know people do two things at once at most.
Right.
That people leave applications running, they forget they're even there, they might as well have just died on their own. And that, by the way, in a sophisticated mobile OS, they would. I actually do think you gain a lot of things. You gain a system that's more reliable. Mary Jo talked about viruses and, you know, crapper and all that kind of stuff. You don't have that. You gain a system that is performs better and has better battery life because it's simpler. You have a system that is literally simpler to use, and I think most people would benefit from that. People move from Windows to an iPad and love it. I mean, they don't feel constrained. This is providing the same thing, but in the PC sense.
People and, who are 80 years old don't.
Well, I don't know if you paid attention to our demographics. That's all the people with money now.
I think a young, vibrant person might. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't use an iPad for my work. I use an iPad play Plants vs. Zombies.
Fair enough. I just think that for the mainstream PC users, this will be enough. For those who need more, Microsoft is not the type of company that would ever cut off things.
So they're not going to abandon the desktop. They'll offer some pro thing.
They will. No, I think they will still deprecate it. And for those people who want it, it will be there and they can continue doing what they're doing. But, you know, Windows 8 came out, right? So were there any big changes to Win32 for Windows 8?
Right. No.
Were there any big changes for Win32 and Windows 8.1? Will there be any big changes to Win32 and Windows 9 or whatever? Not really.
I completely get what you're saying. I think you know, you're absolutely right. It just makes me nervous.
I think
of course. I know.
You have
I know.
to think think also, but also think about how, what are Metro apps going to look like is the other question that we touched on this a little bit, but you know, more and more, I think what they're going to look like is almost like a companion app. That's a Metro app. Like it'll give you some processing power in that app, but the main processing power is going to be in the cloud. It's going to be in a VM. It's going to be not in that app. Like you're going to have an interface out to something in a, like a hypervisor or I just think
that's apps, absolutely.
Apps are going to be built really differently than they're built now. Like now, you know, the old way is you build a CAD app and the entire thing sits on your PC, like the whole app. Right. And the way it's going to be built in the future isn't like that. Right. And I think that's the part a lot of people can't get their head around. Like they just think of it the old way. Right.
And this, by the way, this is the hardest thing for people. I always tell people when they think about any transition that involves going from local anything to cloud anything, you need to learn to let go. People like freak about stuff. If you go from iTunes or Zune to Xbox Music and one playlist isn't exactly right because one of those songs isn't in the cloud, they go ballistic over stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know, if you look at Windows 8.1, for example, you look at the start screen, you look at any of those apps, any one of those apps, any of them, could be implemented as a website very easily, as a web app, very easily. So why make them native apps? Or, you know, they're not really native apps, but why, you know, why make them as locally installable apps? Well, for the same reason that you can have like a SkyDrive service that syncs down to your desktop, you can take it offline and use it when you're not connected to the internet, which, by the way, is going to be increasingly less common going forward, obviously, but you still have that capability. And I do think there's something to be said about the actually, resolution independence isn't even the right term. It's like sort of the resolution smart nature of the Metro stuff where, you know, you have it on a Surface device and you're walking around, it scales to that screen. But when you attach it to a big monitor and maybe use two screens at once or just on the big monitor, then you can do more in the big monitor. Yeah. You could have three apps side by side, or it just scales differently because of the presentation capabilities of that display. Mm-hmm. And to Leo's point where you it feels like you're getting less, you're really getting more. Because Win32 apps aren't that smart. They just don't work like that.
Yeah.
It looks like less, but you're really getting more.
Right. I may have split the candy bar in thirds, but you're getting more.
You're going to enjoy it more.
I understand. I do understand this argument. I really do. But
well, you're an old-timer like me, and you like the desktop. But
Leo, I've just explained how I think this is going to happen. When this happens, I am going to be kicking and screaming with the best of them.
I understand that.
I do. I'm in.
You're not advocating it, but you like the Sybil are sitting on that little pocket of gas, and it's making you see the future.
Wow.
I'm getting ready to go to Greece. You got to understand.
Yeah. No, that's good. And there is definitely some sort of hallucinogenic thing happening.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
We have just completely derailed this podcast, by the way.
Yeah,
you know,
have.
Okay, everybody take a break. We're going to talk about Shutterstock, and then when we come back, you guys can get back on the rails. Whatever that rail is, I'm looking at
it. My email is going to be a disaster after this. Thanks.
Yeah, it is.
No, because I think
says desktop dies tomorrow.
Yeah. Windows Watcher.
Desktop. News at 11.
Yeah. Windows Watcher, Paul Thurrott says.
Windows Watcher, Paul Thurrott.
But I don't.
Why don't you watch Android if you hate the desktop so much?
I think what you're saying, truthfully, makes perfect sense and is I would guess, I would absolutely guess what the conversation is going on at Microsoft.
Yeah.
It's just for those of us old time, and we've seen this coming. This is the post PC era. Welcome. Fortunately, I still have a desktop, and on that desktop, I still have my Shutterstock. Although I have to point out, Shutterstock does have a Webby Award winning iPad app. That's sweet. What is Shutterstock? Well, it's got over 28 million. You want to know the exact number? 29,220,543 royalty-free stock images, illustrations, vectors, even videos. If you go to the footage tab, you'll see some amazing videos. 1,244,689 of the best videos ever. They've added 23,000 new clips this week alone. In the images, get ready. I love this number. They've added, I don't know who's doing it. They must have some magic elves working in the Shutterstock factory, 175,000 new stock images this week alone. And most of these are professional photographers, professional artists. They're reviewed individually for content and quality, so you know you're getting great stuff. The Shutterstock search engine is so much fun. I invite you to make a free Shutterstock account. I'll tell you why in a second, because you can do this without the account. But the search, you can search for a specific thing, but then you can also narrow your search down by color, for instance. They have a color wheel once you make the account that lets you choose a palette. You can narrow it down. Not, you know, most of the time you search for stock stuff, you're looking for a noun like people. But on Shutterstock, you can look for adjectives too. Sad people. And it will narrow it down. It's, oh, she's so sad. She's a sad person. He's a sad person too. So, I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh at sad people. Let's search for happy people. These are people who've discovered the desktop is dead. They're just, you know what this, oh, the desktop, it's, I don't know what I'm going to do without it. Let's look for happy people. These are Windows 8 users. Happy people. Shutterstock.com. Make the light box. You don't need to have a credit card. I love Windows 8. That's why I'm pointing. Windows 8 makes me fold my arms. Windows 8, hey, it's great. Woohoo! So, I'm sorry. Make a Lightbox when you make your account. You don't need a credit card. If you do decide, the Lightbox is good because you can share it with other people. So you can share inspiration. You can also save stuff for your later consumption. When you do want to buy images, you could choose individual image packs. These are all royalty free. Or a monthly subscription for the best deal. Up to 25 images a day. That's the subscription we have. Great for publications. Shutterstock is a truly global company with branches all over the world. Multilingual customer support 24/7. Sign up for the free account. When you do want to buy, can you do me a favor? Use our offer code Windows and the number 9, all one word. 9 because we're in September, the 9th month. Windows, and there's no Windows 9. It's Windows 9th month. Windows 9, and you'll get this, 30% off. That makes the subscription a very good deal. Get the annual one. 30% off. Shutterstock.com. We're talking about Windows. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. Are they going to get rid of the desktop on Xbox, Paul, or is that just my imagination?
You're not going to pigeonhole me into that, Leo.
All right. Chromebooks getting Haswell. This isn't really a Windows story. This is also at the Intel. Well, forum, they talked
kind
about
of it. Is in a sick way.
Yeah, how so? It is an Intel story. I've been speaking a lot, Mary Jo. Why don't you
take it away.
So this week, Google announced there are going to be a bunch of new Chromebook partners. And if you look at who they are, they're all the Windows OEMs.
Oh, Samsung, Toshiba.
Yep.
Acer,
who else was
Asus,
on the list?
Quislings. HP is the big one.
HP, Lenovo, right?
Yeah, Lenovo.
Acer.
Why would they be making these crappy Chromebooks? Why? Why?
I think they're throwing anything out there and seeing what sticks right now. Yeah. It's like, you know, hey, Microsoft's competing with us. Let's try whatever, you know? And a lot of my friends on Twitter said, okay, so if they're going to all the notebook makers are going to start doing Chromebooks, Microsoft should do a Surface laptop.
Yeah,
because that's it. Like, why are they holding back? They should do one now.
Yep.
I would love to see them do one. But
I would too.
Yeah.
The problem is, I just don't see them moving that quickly. But I would like to see a variety of laptop, you know, ultrabook type machines. I'd even like to see a little mini computer, you know, for the desktop.
Yeah. Yeah. We should actually tell people what the show notes says on this. It says, Paul wrote this, of course. Six of the world's top PC makers are making Chromebooks. WTF! Exclamation point.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, whoa, wait, what? Really? Yeah.
Your companies are all dead to me. Actually, you can't be dead to me because you're the only ones that make PCs.
Yeah, I know. I don't want Asus to be dead. Asus isn't on that list, or are they? I can't remember.
Asus is on that list, but actually, I could be wrong. I think they're making the desktop Chrome, the Chromebox. I don't think they're making a Chromebook. I think they're making a Chromebox. You know, when you're looking for a slightly less mobile Chromebook.
A desktop machine.
Yeah.
I'm on strike. All right.
You're on strike. No more PCs.
No more PCs. That's it.
That's it. You're done.
I'm going to do all Surface RTs.
Leo, by the time you get back from vacation, the
desktop it'll be over. What happened? I went to Italy for a couple of weeks and boom, no desktop.
I hope you're going to post pictures on Facebook, right?
Facebook?
You know, just, yeah, let us know that you're alive, that kind of thing. Yeah.
I don't think it'll be fake. Maybe I'll put some on Facebook. Sure, why not?
You should.
Sure.
Where would you have put them?
Google Plus, baby.
Google Plus.
I know. I'm the only guy there. I don't like Facebook. I don't like it much. Anyway.
Google Plus?
Yeah.
No.
Where's Facebook, really?
Facebook, yeah.
They crunch the pictures down. They squish them. They look terrible.
Okay, put them on your SkyDrive and just post a link.
Put them on my SkyDrive.
But you do what my dad does and make them into a PowerPoint presentation.
Does he really? I'm back from my trips, and I've created a three-hour presentation.
It's like Dad, 1993 called.
He really wants a clicker and a carousel. what do you want? Transitions. Microsoft, we did that. Flip-floppers.
Yep. We haven't done that.
You haven't done flip-flops?
Not really.
So I started this, but you poo-pooed it. You said no, but now we're going to do it.
TechNet is not 45 minutes later.
Yeah, I know. TechNet is not dead yet. Although I was pissed because I tried to register. You know, I have a TechNet serial number for my Windows, and they've rolled
that's my
it back.
Tip today.
Okay.
Oh,
go ahead. I won't take your.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, they said to me because you used to be able to activate, I think, up to 10 copies of Windows. They said, due to piracy, we're only going to let you activate two, and you've already activated those two.
So if you call them, they'll reset it.
Oh, they will. Oh, good.
Yeah. All right. But actually, those two keys should be able to activate, I want to say, 20 computers.
No. They cut way back. They wouldn't let me activate anymore.
I think my TechNet key is magic because I've done it. I've used it multiple times.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I was and the thing is, it's all my computers. It's just installing it, moving it around, you know, and stuff like that. Well,
I just walk around the neighborhood with a USB key. You know.
He's like Johnny Appleseed with the
yes.
USB.
So, what kind of computer do you get? Want to run Windows 8?
We did say, and we were a little perturbed last week, that October 18th is when we'd get the magic gold master on MSDN and TechNet. Microsoft has relented on that. I guess a lot of people complained about that.
Yeah. Lot of developers were mad. Yeah. People with MSDN and TechNet subscriptions were very vocal in their complaints. And so Microsoft decided to relent, and they actually made the Windows 8.1 RTM bits available to MSDN and TechNet this week on Monday. So that was nice. Another 180, but yay, because they were actually listening.
And Server 2012 R2.
Yep, Server 2012 R2 bits also for MSDN and TechNet. And if you're an enterprise customer, things get a little more complex. So if you're a volume licensee, here's how you can get the bits. You have to have software assurance. And then as one of your benefits through software assurance, you have a TechNet subscription. And everyone has a different number of keys available depending on what kind of agreement you have with Microsoft. So you can go in through TechNet before the end of this month, and you can unlock Windows 8.1 Enterprise and also the other two SKUs, the Pro. I'm sorry, can you get the Pro? It's so convoluted. What's true for enterprise users is so complicated for some reason.
It's probably just Pro and Enterprise, but
it's Pro and Enterprise, right? And if you want the plain old core, plain old Windows 8.1, you have to wait till October 18th. Still, if you're an Enterprise user,
now is this really the final, or is this in fact just another beta?
No, I think the one thing that Microsoft is correct is, you know, it's never really done,
right?
So this is. It's mostly traditional software, but it's supported as a service. And so they're going to be up. I'm surprised they didn't release something in the security updates on Tuesday for this thing. But they will buy, or shortly after RTM, release a bunch of QFEs for this thing and will then support it each month with additional updates. You know, that's
but just like normal.
Yeah.
And there's no time bomb.
No, just for the desktop.
It just
Here
desktop is living on borrowed time at not 8.1. All right, good to know. Surface 2. This is official. Yeah. Is this official?
Yeah. This is official, real.
Yep. You're going to a party in next week or to 11 yep. days. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So September 23rd in New York, Microsoft is going to launch the new Surfaces, two of them anyways, the Surface 2, which is the ARM-based one, and Surface 2 Pro, which is the Haswell-based one. And, you know, so when we say launch, we don't mean they're going to be available that day. Probably not till mid-October at the earliest, because they have to wait for Windows 8.1
right.
to be available. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Paul and I are going to be there. It's in New York. It's on the 23rd. We're probably going
Monday,
to have...
Monday or Tuesday? What is that? Monday?
Monday, I think, right? September 23rd.
Week yeah. from Monday.
And we're probably going to do a little tweet up afterwards, so stay tuned on that.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But yeah, it's funny. Microsoft didn't actually say they're launching the Surface 2, the Surface 2 Pro, and all the new accessories. Oh.
What did they say?
They just said, we're going to have an announcement about Surface.
it's over. Says, we're giving it up. We're never going to do it. We made a horrible mistake. Here's your money back. Yeah.
That would, by the way, that would be an so awesome event weeks. To go to. Yeah,
that would be horrendous, but that's not what's going to happen.
That would be so awesome.
That is not what's going to happen.
Not going to happen. Okay. Yeah. So, in fact, you guys feel that Microsoft's very committed to the RT platform.
They are.
Yeah, they are definitely committed.
that can have several meanings.
They are building Surface 2, which is ARM-based. It's for real. It's not... Yep. Like something that they might pull the plug on. No, it's coming this year.
Yeah.
Good.
And the one thing that a lot of people wondered if it was coming is the Surface Mini, because people thought, oh, maybe they're going to announce that also on the 23rd. But the word is no.
What is Mini? How mini is Mini?
It's like a Surface, Leo, but it's Mini.
Mini. Is it seven inches?
Eight.
Paul reported a while back it was going to be eight, and I think it is from all we've heard and gotten tips about.
Okay. Eight's a good size. That's actually the size of the iPad Mini is really 7.9. It's 8 inches.
So Surface 2 is Tegra 4.
Yeah.
Surface Pro 2 is Haswell. No surprise there. But what's in the Surface Mini?
What?
Right. My sources tell me that it's a Qualcomm processor. Which is what was in the original Surface RT. I assume it's a newer version of that processor.
Huh.
But that means that thing runs Windows RT. Yeah. So not only is Microsoft committed to Surface RT, but two of the three devices that they make.
But that makes sense. Who would want an 8-inch Windows 8.1? Or would they?
Actually,
would you?
A lot of people. So a lot of those 8-inch devices are.
Are they?
All those Bay Trail ones we were talking about, a lot of those are 8-inch based on Intel. So
I feel like I don't know. It feels like it'd be awfully small.
It does.
It is. It's like it's Windows, but it's Mini.
Right.
Yeah. So the one difference between, I think the original, Surface RT was Tegra based, right?
Is it Tegra?
I believe.
Tegra 3 or is it Qualcomm?
I think it's Tegra 3. And this is going to be Tegra 4, right?
Tegra 4 is the new one is Tegra 4. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think the first generation is Tegra 3, and the second is Tegra 4.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk around the Tegra 4 about how much more powerful that is than Tegra 3. And I'm sure it's going to sound very much like the Bay Trail to Clover Trail stuff, but the trick, I think, is going to be how it works in the real world. RT has three major problems, performance, ecosystem, and compatibility. And so... Performance, I think they'll probably get right with this one, hopefully. But the other two, ongoing, I guess, so we'll see.
Just out of curiosity, what would an 8-inch PC be? Who's that for?
Well, for the same person that an iPad Mini is for.
No,
we have one today, Leo, right? Remember that the Acer...
No, I love the Mini, but it's an iPad. It's not Windows 8.
Oh, I know, but this thing here is Windows 8. It's out now.
And so how is that to work with? I mean,
it's terrible.
No, okay. I'm just
kidding. I thought you threw that away. So, you still have it?
It just seems so small that it wouldn't be really,
I feel bad for it, Mary Jo. It's like you find a puppy with three
RT
legs.
RT would be a better choice, wouldn't it? I mean,
it's debatable, but. Yeah, no, to be honest, the problem for this device is the screen, and that's very specific to this device.
Oh.
I think Windows.
Which one is that? What is that
this
device?
It's the Acer. So it works in portrait mode. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah.
It works. It's just that the screen, it turns on and everything.
It turns on. It works.
No, it's not a piece of dummy garbage, Leo. It's just.
It works. And
that's the one with that weird, big, gigantic keyboard that it sits in.
Yeah,
too, right?
It doesn't like, fit. Yeah. I saw that one.
I like this design.
Yeah.
It's a keyboard. It's outsized.
The little dongle thing on the side there.
Yeah, it's an outsized keyboard. Yeah. Interesting choice.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of interesting choices on this thing. Yes.
Yeah, there are.
Well, and that's what we're seeing. Frankly, that's what we're seeing in all of the mobile devices now is just people are throwing stuff up against the wall and seeing what sticks. Because nobody really knows what people are going to end up wanting.
To me, the biggest challenge Microsoft's going to have this fall when all these devices come out is explaining to customers like why you would want a Bay Trail based 8-inch versus an ARM based 8-inch and what you can do on one and what you can't do on one.
There's some mixed messaging right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of mixed messaging.
I'm
especially
confused.
If they get like say they get the same battery life and then throw Surface into the equation too, right? So here's an ARM based Surface 2. Here's the Nokia ARM based machine. Here's a Bay Trail and here's a Haswell and they're all running something called Windows 8.1. How do you explain this easily to customers?
Well, that's, you know, I've said that for a while. It's very, I don't know how normal consumers understand this at all.
I know. It's getting a little more complex.
Yeah. I think this is a short-term problem because Microsoft is making these other companies so mad by next year.
They're going to all
only
leave
Microsoft
the market.
Will be making them.
What do you think this is shows a lack of leadership when companies don't, you know, I lived for years in the Apple world where Apple told you what you wanted and you would buy it and you'd be happy. Yeah. And we do now live in a world where Samsung makes every possible size of the Galaxy. Apparently,
they also make dishwashers and refrigerators, which I find amusing.
Is it a lack of leadership, or is it really giving customers a great choice?
I think it's a transition time. Like we keep talking about transitions on this show, this is a transition time when they're trying to be out there for everybody, and it's going to get I think it's going to get more understandable and knowable. Like one thing they're doing that's great is they're going to rename the Surface RT to Surface 2, and then the big brother will be Surface 2 Pro. That's so much better than Surface RT.
And nobody even knew what RT stood for.
Surface Pro is a much better message, though people are correct that given that they went with RT previously, it's going to confuse some people now. That's fair, but you know, these transitions are difficult. I mean, just to keep beating the transitions theme to death.
Right.
She's right.
Yeah, that's all you have to say. Yeah.
I have nothing to add, but I'll just keep talking.
Yeah. Anyway. That's me. That's my job.
Yeah. I can't
stop.
Keep
talking.
Speaking of changes, changes in the OS team. Now, when you say OS team, you're not saying the Windows team now. Is that why?
So now, you know, in the new Microsoft, the new Microsoft, there's this thing called the OS Engineering Division.
Yeah.
And that's where Terry Myerson, who currently runs Windows Phone, has been appointed to head up this big thing called OS Engineering. So everything that's going in here is Windows Phone, Windows, and the Xbox One operating system, plus Xbox Live. So this is now one division in the new Microsoft. Wow. Terry Myerson's the head. He's just announced internally, not externally, who his lieutenants are going to be. And it's very interesting. He made a very clean sweep, and it looks like he's getting rid of all the people who were the lieutenants under the Windows 8 team. So he's still going to have a head of test, a head of program management, and a head of dev, but they're not any of the people who built Windows 8. They're all his own guys. So you're going to get David Treadwell, who's a longtime Windows guy who's been working on Xbox most recently. Mike Fortin, who also a former Windows guy coming back into the division. And Henry Sanders, who was working with Terry Myerson on Windows Phone. So it's a whole new cast of characters running this OS division, basically, which is very interesting. He picked one from Xbox, one from Windows, one from Windows Phone, and this shows you where they're going. They're all going to be working together going forward on one operating system in one division instead of having these people sprinkled all over the place.
Julie Larson Green still at Windows, or what's...
Nope. She's on devices and studios, so she's working on the hardware business now, and she's not working on Windows either.
Oh, man.
Yep. clean
so
sweep.
I have to ask. I'm just curious what you think about that. I mean, some of the guys that they got rid of, I would say Antoine LeBlanc being the most obvious one, were people I consider to be credible. I mean, on the other hand, you, of course, ran the Windows Store stuff and the app development stuff at a time when that didn't really take off in any meaningful way. I mean, do you think that these replacements are political better only, or are they, is it some improvement? Or?
And what's going to happen when the new CEO arrives and sweeps everybody out?
Yeah,
it looks
don't
at
know,
Terry
right?
Myerson and says, what?
Who? And you are... You do what?
I know you don't. We don't know, right? But I think it's definitely interesting that the team that came over with Steven Sinofsky, his whole team, which was Julie Larson Green, Antoine LeBlanc, John Devon, Grant George, they all are out now.
That's the end of the Sinofsky era entirely.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of people who worked for and with him in Windows who still actually like the guy and aren't, you know, they're still sorry he's gone. So there, it's not like a total clean sweep of Windows, but I think it's kind of like when a new president comes in, they bring their own people in, right? And this is what's happening here, and it's kind of understandable.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's good to see that they picked one from each division: one Windows Phone, one Windows, one Xbox. It gives me hope these things are actually going to work together in the future, which is something they have to do. So I think that from that standpoint, it's very good. Whole new change.
Yeah. And meanwhile, we're still looking for a new boss.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So CEO search continues at Microsoft. You know, a lot of people, we talked about this last week. I think Leo was very prescient in his comments about Stephen Eliop possibly being the next CEO. But he's not the only one. Supposedly, there are still 40 people who are on the list. I'm not making this up.
By the way, if there are 40 people, all three of us are on this list. Are you kidding me?
We're on the list.
40 people?
I would love to see that list.
We all would love to see
I would list. Love to be at a banquet with all 40 of those people.
Yeah.
I think half of them actually are dead. But
yes.
So, you know.
Colonel Sanders is on the list.
Colonel Sanders.
The number three choice right
Elvis.
Now.
But, you know, that'll make it easy to narrow it down.
Yeah. And, you know, so there's supposedly this list, right? And they include inside and outside candidates. And not everybody is equal on this list, obviously, right? So, you know, supposedly Terry Myerson is on this list, the guy we're just talking about, who's heading up the Windows Engineering Division. And supposedly Satya Nadella is on this list. And Tony Bates, who is the former CEO of Skype. They're all on the list.
I'm completely confused with the guy in Psycho who murdered Jay
Lee. I didn't hear the name. Every time she says that name, I'm like, are you sure that's his name?
Tony Bates. Because it's Tony Perkins played, what's his name, Bates? The Bates. Marvin?
Norman.
Norman Bates.
Right. Not that Bates, but he might be on the list too. We're not really sure.
We're not suggesting he's a serial killer. We're just saying he came from Skype.
Yeah. So there's a lot of people still on the list. They're still taking their time to evaluate it. But the one that came to light this week that everybody's like wild about is Alan Mulally.
Well, he'd be great. Mulally. But he's already announced he's retiring.
He has.
He's in his 60s.
From Ford.
Ah.
Yeah.
He's older than Ballmer.
He
was a Ballmer buddy, too, though. Yep. I mean, he reportedly was, an advisor to Steve and had a lot to do with it. And he certainly turned Ford around. He is a genius and an engineer and from the Seattle area. He worked at Boeing for years.
Apparently, his family still lives in the Seattle area.
So. And the other one everybody was speculating on for at least a minute was Jeff Rakes, who used to work at Microsoft, who then headed up the Gates Foundation, who also announced this week he's retiring from the Gates Foundation as the CEO. But I guess people who have asked around about him, they say no, he's not in the running at all for this. So who knows who's on that list of 40? But
40 people.
Yeah, and who even knows if it's still 40? You know, I really believe they're going to pick the CEO sooner rather than later, because the longer this just goes on and on and on, people at the company are worried. They're worried who's going to be the new CEO.
You don't want to go the full year.
And by the way, you throw in that grenade in the room of Nokia being purchased, and the uncertainty at Microsoft is going to be at an all-time high right now.
It is. It is.
Oh, God.
So based on the way that they announce things, I have to imagine they're going to announce their CEO 5 minutes after the show concludes.
Right.
Because it seems like that's how they do things.
They're watching. They're waiting. Is it over? Okay,
like,
quick.
Wait for it.
Push the button.
So, yeah.
Shut up about transitions. We could get this thing out.
Right. One date to keep in mind is next Thursday, September 19th, is Microsoft's annual financial analyst meeting when they invite the Wall Streeters to come to campus.
And Mary Jo, when does that happen? When does that show happen?
It happens right after Windows Weekly next week.
Oh, of course.
It's
unbelievable.
And Value Act will be there.
No, they will not be there.
Oh, they will
they
not
are
be
not
there.
Yet on the board.
The deal on that is they're not on the board till they get a new CEO.
Well, yeah, they may be there as attendees, but they won't be there as board members, I should say.
I think that they may be able to credibly go to Alan Mulally and say, look, it's just for 3 years. You helped design this transition. And then you can retire.
See it through. Remember Steve Ballmer said...
see it through.
What was the time frame?
Yeah.
What was the time frame? 2018 or something?
Yeah. So,
yeah, it was.
You know, give us 5 years. Give us 5 years. The final 5 years of your career, and see Microsoft through this transition and leave it as a healthier company. Hopefully.
I mean, I think Wall Street would love it. I think it would help the stock price. I think everybody thinks Mulally is one of the best, if not the best CEO in America. And has unique connections to this company. So, but I don't know if Mulally would do it.
Aside from that, and obviously that has to be the primary concern, but aside from that, the reason that he succeeded at Ford is because the guy running Ford, William Ford, had the, I don't know how else to say this, the balls to actually say, look, I'm going to step down from the company.
Family screwed it up.
I'm going to put, right, I need someone in here better than me. I mean, how many people can say this? Can Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer say this? Yeah. Will the board hand over the reins and actually let this guy make an objective decision about the company's direction and then change it if it's not right? I think that's actually the biggest hurdle. And I think that other than, unless that can happen, he would be crazy to take this job.
Yeah. I still think.
And how fast can he come up to speed, right? Because,
he was very involved in the reorg, I think. I think he, of all the people, is closest to up to speed. Except maybe an insider.
From what I heard about Mulally, actually, I heard he was one of many people that they talked to, but not like the guy.
Okay.
So, and running Ford is a lot different, obviously, than running Microsoft, too. Right. But they need somebody, I think, who at least is very tech-savvy, who has to come in and know about the cloud. They have to know about consumer services, the enterprise.
The whole list of 40 is to assuage all of those 39 people before they announce Stephen Elop as the CEO.
I know. And you made a good case why he could be it. And I can tell you from talking to people inside Microsoft, many of them don't want him. And
no, I wouldn't.
But you understand that the conspiracy theory thing is going to just ring right off the register when that happens, right? That the fifth column people are going to come out of the woodwork.
He got in, he destroyed value at Nokia, Microsoft swooped in and bought it.
And by the way, it's not what happened, I don't think. But
no.
It is. I mean, come on. It looks like it, doesn't it? I mean, that's crazy.
So, Mary Jo, you started saying some people hate it, but do some people like it? Are there a group?
Yeah. Some people like it. Yep. And you know what it depends on? It depends where you sit in Microsoft, right? If you sit on a team like the enterprise team, you might not love this because you want the enterprise guy to be the top guy, right?
Right.
If you sit on devices, you might or might not like this, So it kind of depends where you are sitting in the new reorg in terms of how much you're going to like the idea of ELOP or not like it.
And that, I don't know how this stuff works at all, so I'm just throwing stuff up against the wall. But
neither
that might be, I know in politics what happens if you have two strong front runners or a polarizing front runner, what you get is the second guy because the two people can't get together to get a majority for the for ELOP, so then you get a compromise candidate, which would be
Terry Myerson.
Terry Myerson.
By the way, I'd like to announce the formation of the Super Site for Android.
That would be the worst thing that could happen right now, right? Is the compromise candidate.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, it was interesting to see what Marissa Meyer said this week at TechCrunch, because they asked her, who do you think should be Microsoft's next CEO? Which, of course, she didn't answer. But she
would have been her if she'd been a little more patient.
Yeah. Sure. But what she did say is, it better be somebody with enterprise experience.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right? By the way, Mary Jo, what do you think about Tammy Reller?
I kind of thought she was in the running, but when I've been asking around lately, I hear she's not in the running.
Where did she end up with the reorg?
She's the head of marketing, basically, all central marketing, which is a very powerful position at Microsoft. Yeah.
I think a woman would be an amazing choice for Microsoft. And I wonder about Marissa Meyer as well, although
she's not really going to jump at this point. Nah. I don't think she'd jump.
A lot of people keep saying Sheryl Sandberg, right? Like, that's another name.
That's a good candidate.
I don't know anything about that.
I don't know.
She's on the list.
She's leaning forward. We want somebody who's leaning forward, not somebody leaning backward.
We know Julie Larson Green read her book.
Yeah.
So.
Is it what about a creative solution like Microsoft's done this before, Office of the CEO, a multi-headed beast?
I think they just will keep senior leadership team like they have now to advise whoever is the CEO. Right. That's my guess.
Microsoft is already a multi-headed beast.
Yeah, you probably don't want to go more in that direction.
I know.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a few more minutes. OneNote for iOS updated. Now you got it for iOS and Android. Nice app. Yeah.
I think we can just throw these three together. You know, one of the big debates in Microsoft land is whether they should keep propping up Windows, or whether they should push their other platforms onto competing platforms. And so, OneNote Mobile for iOS was updated. That means is you can use it in more of a standalone mode, whereas before you had to use OneNote on the PC or on the web to create new notebooks, create new sections, that kind of thing. Now it's more of a, like you would expect from the front end to a cloud service. So I wonder if that doesn't mean they're pointing it to pointing the way to a full Office for iPad, which I do think they're going to do. In a like vein, Xbox Music headed to iOS and Android phones this week, and it's not complete yet, but the current version is streaming only, which does have one good side to it, which means that using it on those devices doesn't go against the number of devices you can have associated
with the
account.
That.
Streaming is basically free, as long as you have an Xbox Music Pass. Yeah. That will work. And then today, and this is was kind of a hell freezes over moment, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I saw that. The new Miss America contestant with a tattoo, the first, that one?
No. That one. Yep, that one.
we were watching different channels. Microsoft announced IMAP support for Outlook.com.
Oh, right? Hell freezes over. Yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
They already support Exchange ActiveSync, obviously, but this it's kind of a weird esoteric need, but there's some migration scenarios. But also, people on the Mac, if you use the Mail app or if you use Thunderbird, can't use EAS with Outlook.com, and they can use IMAP, and this will get that onto there. So so they've done that.
So
there you go.
And so there's that. Microsoft stands to make this is if we were going to do a number of the week as we do in This Week in Google, this would be the number of the week. There's always been a lot of speculation about how much Microsoft makes on Android, because of course they have critical licenses. We know that
this is an estimate from somebody, but I don't know that I've ever, I don't know that, I, well, I'm sure people have come up with estimates
people have
before,
been saying but $5 a handset was one of the
kind
of
an interesting figure. Yeah.
So what is the number?
$3.6 billion.
Whoa! That's a $1 billion business, baby.
That's a year. So obviously Microsoft has businesses that make several billions in revenues per quarter. Office, for example. Just Office is responsible for about $25 billion a year in revenues. Just Microsoft Office. Windows is probably close to a $20 billion a year business, that kind of thing. Just to put that in perspective, but, $3 to $4 billion in Android, royalties for not, without, I mean, it's pretty good.
That's not bad. Linux, are those the Linux patents that Microsoft claims? What is the?
Well, they're patent. I don't know Linux specifically, but they're
mobile patents.
Android being Linux, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Sure, they're related.
Microsoft claims it invented Linux, so I just want
Yep.
We can jump right to the picks. We don't have another ad, so let's start with your tip of the week, Mr. Paul Thurrott.
So I thought this is where you were heading earlier, but now that Microsoft has released Windows 8.1 on TechNet and MSDN, what you get are a bunch of people, apparently 2 billion of them, scurrying to install this thing on their computers. And what people are doing, of course, is they're taking a Windows 8 computer that they already have, or maybe a Windows 8 computer that they previously upgraded to the Windows 8.1 preview, and they're going to upgrade that to the final version of Windows 8.1. And what they've discovered is that when they do that, of course, what they want to do is use their existing product key. In other words, they bought Windows 8 at some point, or Windows 8 came with that computer and there's a product key. But if you enter that product key during setup, it will not work, because the TechNet and MSDN versions of Windows 8.1, because they are from those services, expect you to be a customer. And the way that they know that you're a customer is you use one of their keys. So the complaint that I'm getting from people is, you know, I don't want to burn one of my keys. I already have a key for Windows 8. This is supposed to be a free upgrade. Why do I have to use one of the keys from TechNet? Now, I actually think it's perfectly legitimate for TechNet or MSDN to require you to use one of their keys to install one of their products. I think that makes sense. But there are two ways to get around this. One would be to wait, by the way. You could just wait until October, and then the web installer will work with your existing key. But there's a little trick if you want to get this to work now, which is that you do need to use that key from TechNet or MSDN to run setup and install it. But once Windows is installed and you get to the start screen, you can search for Activate, go to the product activation screen, which is new in this release. In fact, let me bring it up just to show you. Let me do it on this one. It's new in Windows 8, 8.1, sorry. And it gives you the option to, I've already activated, so I don't see it. But I believe what it gives you the option to do is enter a product key or change a product key. And from there, you can change it to your existing product key. And that will work. Once Windows 8.1 is installed, your existing product key will work. So you don't have to burn one of your TechNet or MSDN keys. You just want to be sure to do that quickly, because obviously Windows wants to auto-activate. But it works. That does work.
That's nice to know. Good workaround.
Yeah.
Is that on the super site for Windows?
No, not yet. I'm going to write that one up soon. I'm not sure that there's a huge audience. Well, I guess there's 2 million people in the audience. Right. But, I mean, you know, this is not a – this is like a temporary issue. I mean, obviously, once Windows 8.1 comes out, it's not going to matter. I also just wanted to point people toward every couple of days or so, I'll be putting a Windows 8.1 tip up on my site, and then eventually I'll combine them into a big article where you can get them all in one location. So just pay attention to that thing. But I put a few up over the last couple of days. And what somebody emailed me, I should say, I didn't discover this myself, is that one of the big debates in Windows 8.1 is they got rid of the system image backup that was part of Windows 7. And it was in Windows 8, but it was kind of hidden. But in Windows 8.1, it was it seemed like it was gone. And actually, it's there. And so what you do is you go to file history, which is the new style of backup. And in the file history control panel, not the Metro PC settings interface, but the control panel, when that comes up in the lower left corner of that window, you'll see a link called System Image Backup. And that will enable you to start creating new system image backups that you can make. And I haven't fully tested this yet, but my understanding is that if you have a system image backup that's on an external disk and you plug it into Windows 8.1, it will just work normally. You can restore to that, and you could go back to whatever OS you had on there before. So I'll write that one up soon.
Good. Coolio. Your software pick of the week.
Yeah, software pick of the week.
It's out.
We talked about, Windows 8.1, Windows Server 2012 R2 are out for if you're subscribers, right, to MSDN or TechNet. Visual Studio 2013 is on a slightly different schedule. I think the final version, I think they said it was going to be out in November, if I'm not mistaken. But what is now finalized is the release candidate version, and that's publicly available. So you can go up to the Visual Studio website. You can grab Visual Studio 2013 RC, those are like the paid versions, which you don't have to pay for in the RC version, like Professional, Ultimate, etc. Those are all available. And also a bunch of the Express versions. Not all of them, but most of them. So Visual Studio Express for web, for Windows Desktop, which is like C#, Visual Basic. Team Foundation Server Express are all available. And then the one that's not available, interestingly, the one that hasn't been updated to RC yet, is Visual Studio Express for Windows, meaning Windows Store Apps, meaning Metro, you know, Windows 8 and RT. That one is still on the old preview version. So if you want to develop, or you want to test Windows 8 apps, like Windows Store apps today, for the final version of Windows 8.1, what you really want to get is one of one of the big versions of Visual Studio, you know, Visual Studio Professional or Visual Studio Ultimate. So those are all free.
The big boy version.
Yeah, big boy version. Yep.
Hey, people in the chat room are asking you if you've seen that story about Cortana, a Siri-like.
That's, yes. And Mary Jo's going to talk about that.
Oh.
That's our code name of the week.
I should pay more attention to the notes. Why don't we throw it to Mary Jo for her enterprise pick of the week?
Okay. First, we'll do the enterprise pick of the week.
All right.
This week's pick is the next version of Microsoft Dynamics CRM that's coming up. There's two parts to it. There's one called Dynamics CRM 2013, and then there's the fall 2013 Dynamics CRM Online release. Both of these probably coming around October or so. And the reason they're the pick this week is Microsoft posted for anybody to download a 19-page release preview guide for these things. So if you go in the Download Center, I believe you can find it, or on my site, I have a link straight to it. Microsoft's been testing these since July, but only with a very small group of customers in the Technology Adoption Program, the TAP. So now if you want to see what the features are coming in these, you can, because they itemize them. They talk about the new flatter Office 2013 look, the fact that they're going to be a Windows 8 and an iPad complementary apps that'll come out at around the same time that'll go with these releases. So you'll finally see what does CRM look like in a Metro-style app, which will be very interesting to see. They've shown a couple of previews of that, but we've never actually seen the final. That'll be coming around this fall. And the one feature that's not going to make it in, which they talk about in the guide, is a thing called direct integration with Microsoft Exchange. They were trying to get that into this release, but it sounds like it's going to lag it a bit. So there won't be Exchange Online synchronization for your email, your tasks, and your contacts at launch. That's going to follow slightly after. But it's going to have a lot of other things. Link integration, Skype integration. This is a really big release for Microsoft CRM. The code name for it is Orion. So be ready for that. It's coming in October, along with Windows 8.1.
Ooh.
Yes.
You have the scooplet.
Yeah.
Cortana. Now you can be like Master Chef yourself and talk to. This is not this current version of Windows Phone, but soon to come.
No. Yep. So, you know, we've known Microsoft was going to do something that was similar to Siri and similar to Google Now. They've been hinting about it actually since 2011. I remember when Steve Ballmer started hinting about this. They bought Tell Me.
Yeah.
They've been increasingly integrating voice into things like the Kinect and into Windows Phone and improving that. So now the next step is for them to have a personal assistant. Everybody who knows Halo, which is not me, but everyone else knows there's a character called Cortana. I had to look up, when I got the code name on this, I'm like, what is Cortana?
You should have just pinged me, Mary Jo. I could help.
I should have. Cortana is Master Chief's AI assistant, right? She always is like kind of learning and adapting. And so that's very fitting with this personal assistant that Microsoft's building. What it's going to do is take the machine learning kind of technology that's built into Bing, and they're going to use that and match all the entity matching and all the other kind of capabilities that they have on the Bing backend. Couple that with the voice technology. So you can say to your phone, get me my boarding pass for Southwest, and boom, it'll know what you mean when you say that. So, you know, Microsoft doesn't have that right now, and they've been kind of hinting about it since 2011 and talking it up. There was a leak earlier this summer of a Windows phone that was on eBay that actually had an app called Z Cortana listed on it. And everybody was kind of like, what is that thing? And it turns out that is probably the first implementation of this, maybe some kind of a personal assistant for Windows Phone Blue or something slightly thereafter. So that would put it, if it comes out with Windows Phone Blue, this would mean Cortana is probably a 2014 or first half 2014 thing.
Okay.
Microsoft's not talking about this, not saying when, but I can tell you their WP Dev account retweeted me on the story.
Well, that's about as close to confirmation as you're going to get.
I'm like, oh, okay, so that's interesting.
I don't know what she's talking about, but
let's retweet it.
Microsoft developer MS Dev Wake up, Chief. Cortana is your voice activated personal assistant in Windows Phone 8.1, says Mary Jo Foley.
Whoa, so, that's good. That's the best confirmation ever. That's awesome.
I think it's probably true. But the part I'm most intrigued about, you know, okay, that's cool on a phone, right? But there are hints that this isn't just on the phone, that it's also coming to a future version of Windows and Xbox. So the idea is that it would be the same personal assistant that would technology that would work across all three platforms. And that makes it way more interesting than just a phone app.
It would also be a big boost for Bing.
Yes, it would. It would be huge for Bing. It would be big for the cross-platform story that Microsoft's talking up. It would be big for Windows Phone, especially because, you know, people who know Halo would be like, oh, Cortana's cool. I hope they have that, something like that. We don't know if her voice will be the voice or whatever. Oh,
they could, though. They own that.
I know. They own IP, it. Yeah, so that'd be pretty cool. But that's all I know
I'm
right now.
I'm still waiting
about
for
it.
Kit. I want Kit.
Yep.
Paul knows what
I just want
about.
The car.
Yeah, I want the car.
It's like an 83 Trans Am or something.
Cool. Cortana is a great code name of the week.
Yep.
And finally, as always, at the end of Windows Weekly, we like to pop the top of a fine craft beer.
Yeah, and today I'm not going to actually do a beer. I'm going to tell you about a beer site that I just found out about. That's really cool. And I'm not getting a kickback from them. I just had someone send me beer this way. That's how I found out. It's called Let's Pour, LETSPOUR.com. And it's a really interesting site. You can go on and, you know, because wherever you live, you can't always get craft beers from all over the place. So this lets you handpick beers from breweries where you can't get them at home, and you can have them shipped to yourself, and there's all these kinds of deals on shipping.
It's like Woot for beer.
It kind of is, yeah. And it's like you don't have to be in a club. You can just order at one time. But somebody sent me, a friend of mine, 12 beers through Let's Pour, and they were all from breweries on the West Coast that I can't get beer from very easily. So it was really nice. And it comes all nicely packaged and all the special crating, so it came intact. And I just signed up for it myself because I'm like, wow, that's cool to be able to get beers. Yeah, get beers you can't get normally.
Not just beers, though. They do soda, spirits, cider.
Wine. Yep. They do it all.
And, but each one is a daily deal of the day kind of Woot style. Yep. Is that how it works?
Right. So if you sign up, you get a daily deal of the day. Like today, our deal is on this. But you can mix and match cases. You don't have to do all one kind.
I like it. So that's
pretty fun. Yeah.
I'm signing
up.
That's
the beer pick.
Let's Pour, P-O-U-R. .com. Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's her day job. Her night job, too. She works round the clock. Paul Thurrott is at the Windows Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. And he also is the author of the Windows Phone Book, which you can get for free at windowsphonebook.com. And I think this would be a good time to say goodbye. This show,
Leo, are we not going to see you again for a while?
Is that
gonna
see, when I say goodbye, I mean see ya. I'm going to get on a boat. I'll be gone for 3 weeks. I think Tom Merritt fills in for me.
Okay,
maybe Iaz. I'm not sure. And you're going to be doing that IT pro thing in Vegas.
Yeah,
first week of October.
I won't be here for that, I believe. It turned out we were reluctant for technical reasons to have it hosted down there, mostly because it costs a lot of money. So we're going to have Iaz hosted from up here and have you Skype in just as you always do.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It'll work.
Apologies. I really thought it'd be great to do that, but maybe next year we can do it if you plan to do this.
I always thought we'd do it the way we're doing it, and I think that's going to work out.
I think that's what we're going to end up doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really wanted to send somebody over, and you know, but it's we'd have to have a lot of bandwidth from there and set up a TriCaster, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So we're not going to do that.
We'll still have a live audience, though.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Vegas.
If you want to sign up, you can go to the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com, and let Mary Jo and Paul know you're coming. And is there an admission fee, or how does that work?
Yeah, no, it is a paid conference.
Yep. All right. But there are 180 sessions. There's workshops.
Yeah, we're not screwing around, Leo.
This is not.
Well, actually, we are going to be doing some screwing around.
There'll be. Will you do a beanbag thing there?
Yeah,
no beanbags.
Maybe, Maybe something in the pool. Oh, no, we're not at Bellagio this year. Where are we at? Mandalay Bay
has a great Mandalay pool. Bay. Are you kidding? Yeah, it's a beautiful hotel. I love it. And the best buffet in town. Yes. IT Dev Connections in Vegas, September 30th through October 4th. You can register at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. We do Windows Weekly on Thursdays here at 11 a.m. Pacific. That's right about 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on twit.tv. Join us live if you can't. But, well, that's all right. You can always get on-demand audio and video after the fact at twit.tv/WW for Windows Weekly. Or subscribe in the Zune Marketplace, and you'll get a copy every time there's a new one automatic. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo.
Leo.
Thanks.
Have a great vacation.
Thank you. I'll see you in a month on Windows Weekly. Take care.